Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well, John. How are you doing? You survived the pizza and what's the word? Jocularity? I thought I might come up with a word like that I will never use again this year.
I didn't survive the pizza. I'm still dreaming about it.
That'd be good dreams. That was some excellent pizza. Thank you to the staff at Devil Craft. It was really good.
Excellent stuff. And thank you for our friends who... actually, I guess we should tell everybody what happened. We have a number of bloggers, and I guess if you're familiar with Yaku, Baka, and other sites, we all got together for a little baseball powwow the other night. So we have to thank one of the bloggers, Deanna, for getting that together. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. It was fun.
And Kozuota and Christopher, who does the Tigers, and Steve, who does the Marines, and and Michael Westbay, who runs JapaneseBaseball.com, among a zillion other things, including this podcast.
All together in one room.
All together in one room, and just two guys who actually write for a living and write less than everybody else put together, except John, of course.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that plug. Well, today we're going to discuss the leaders in both leagues. We're going to talk about the first stage of the CL and the PL Climax Series and answer some great listener questions.
Yep.
So let's start by clearing the bases. All right, so we had an interesting season. We won't talk about the ball. We won't bring that up, but its impact, felt league-wide in the Central League in particular. The Pacific League as well. But, I mean, one guy just didn't seem to stop at all.
Thought we weren't going to talk about it. It's hard not to. Okay, we're not going to talk about that thing.
We're not going to dwell on it. How's that?
No. Okay. All right. Okay, yeah. That Takeya Nakamura, 48 home runs. Just amazing.
He tied his career high. He also hit 48 in 2009. It's his third home run title in 4 years, so he's the number one cleanup guy in
Japan.
He's gotta
be. He's the man who's, somebody asked if he could break O's record, and the answer is absolutely sure, you never know. He's a candidate, you gotta be a candidate.
Definitely. I mean, when I saw him in a 2008 Japan series and what he did to get that team to the, into the series, and then, the fear that he instilled in Giants pitchers when they're trying to get him out. And, I'm scared to face in fear. It's just that, we don't want to put guys on base when he's coming up, kind of a fear. And, since that time, he's just been the consummate cleanup guy. I mean, one of them, especially for Japanese players.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that you don't see Japanese guys who are that quick and can pull, pull the ball at any park.
Quick hands.
And who can hit, who can pull balls that are, not just on the inside, balls that float up and get up in your zone.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. He had a great year. His name's going to come up in a number of categories now. We're going to go through some of the stats. I've just picked out basically some of my favorite, but we're going to also go off the charts here and go to some abstract sabermetric stuff. For me, I got a question early on in the season, who's a better base dealer, Kataoka or Honda with the Hawks, Kataoka with the Lions or Richie Honda of the Hawks, and I had to say Honda because he's just so automatic. I mean, he's going to be a real weapon for the Hawks when they get into the second stage starts of the PLCS, because he's a guy you really just can't put on base. 60 stolen bases, and you were saying about the context is that it was typical for him?
No, it's not. It's atypical for him. It's atypical for anybody in Japan to have 60 stolen bases. Last guy to do it was Kazuo Matsui when he was
good.
When he was really good. When he was, when he was 20 years old in 1996.
A young, spry, fiery runner. Yeah.
And a Daijiro Oishi in the early 80s when he was probably 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Honda's about that same age, so it's quite an accomplishment. And Oishi was also a second baseman, although a bigger hitter, a little more pop.
I like to call him Blinky. You know, ever notice how he blinks as well as, you know, Mozzarella talks? Yeah, they both have this blinking
issue. They need Tourette's counselors over there or something.
No, they're not barking out words here. They're just blinking.
I know, but it's... I was talking to my friend the other day. I said, you noticed that too the first time you talked to Matsuda, that it's really distracting.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's probably, you know, because not only are you talking to him, but you're a foreigner talking to him. So he was probably doubly distracted. He was, you know, shaking the sweat after his BP and his head was jerking from side to side. And he was looking away and looking down and blinking and...
So essentially, you thought it was you.
I asked him, and he said the same thing. I thought I was doing something weird that was making him nervous.
Don't be yourself.
That's just what he does.
Then people will relax. Be someone else. All right. Well, run scored. I mean, Okawari-kun, here's his name coming up again. He had a Japan high 97 runs scored, and that's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, he knocked himself in 48 times, but he's not a person who is fleet of foot.
Although, as you have pointed out, he does, you know, he scored from second base on a wild pitch.
I didn't see that. Did he do that this year?
I think he stole third. He was stealing third on a wild pitch, and he just kept coming home.
Interesting. Did they measure the distance between third and home that night? Was it at home? Maybe they shortened the distance a little bit, put the bags in a little bit closer area. I can't see that happening. But
that happened.
But we were down in hits. You know, the high for hits in the Pacific League this year was 175 from Mr. Sakaguchi at Oryx. And I think that's kind of low.
It is because, of course, last year. I mean, the highs, in fact, last year we had how many guys get over 200 hits? Four?
Yeah, that's right. Now that's I remember that.
Did Alex Ramirez have 200 hits or no?
I don't know.
I know Merton had 214, obviously.
And Aoki went over 200.
And Aoki had 200 plus, and Nishioka had 200.
I don't remember the fourth guy. I'm looking for Alex as we speak. But, yeah, it's considerably low this year, 175. It just, I mean, you know, we talked about how a certain object made some certain hits disappear. The ball. And,
right.
And,
take that back. It was just the three.
It was just the three. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. But, yeah, you can definitely see the impact when 175 hits leads the league.
Yeah, we're usually up. I mean, even, you know, before last year when we had the really hot weather and we had a couple of Pacific League teams switch to the Mizuno ball, Central League teams switch to the Mizuno ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is, I think, why we saw the big, increase in the Central League, but normally, I mean, typically in Japan, 195 in that area, 190 is usually the leader. 175 is very low.
All right, well, I said some bad things about Mr. Kazuo Matsui, but he did lead the Pacific League in doubles with 34.
34 is an outstanding number for this year, certainly.
Definitely. So it does show that he still has some wheels, because he was turning, I would say, more than, you know, gapping a lot of balls. Not more than, but, you know, on a number of occasions, you probably beat out some balls that, you know,
probably
ran into them.
No surprise to see Nakamura leading in total bases and RBIs.
Not at all, but...
not when you've got
116 is good. 100,
close to 180 on your home runs.
No, he did. I mean, you look at his numbers, it's almost, you know, career year for him. In this year.
It is a career year. There's no doubt about it. This is the year, you know, regardless, this is a career year. Nobody's going to, and anybody who thinks that this is he's just having a good year, you know, they got to put their glasses on because they're missing the big picture.
Yeah, well, I mean, average-wise, he's down, but I mean, comparatively.
Everything
was down.
Everything was down, and he was the only one who was, considerably better than he's been. How many batters improved? Yeah, a couple of guys, you know, guys who weren't playing, guys who are still developing, young guys. But somebody who is in his prime and already established, setting new highs, and, you know, you're not going to set highs in runs and RBIs this year because the runs and RBIs, the runs just aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But the home runs, the walks, all that, man, just amazing what he did.
Well, he also struck out 134 times, but he shared the league lead with one of the players I like a lot.
Dai Kon Sho.
Yeah.
Yo Mama.
Yo Dai Kon is the name he goes by, I guess, with the announcers.
Right. Well, that was his name in high school. Well, actually, he had a different name, I think, in high school. because he's a kid from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
He came over here and he started playing Japanese ball in high school in Fukuoka. I'm sure it was Fukuoka.
Mm-hmm.
And he was drafted out of high school, wanted to go to the Hawks, and threw a bit of a temper tantrum when the Fighters won him in a lottery.
I like to call that a John Elway, but go ahead.
Okay, well, he did his John Elway routine, and he's not happy about it, but now he's with the Fighters. He was used to be a shortstop who had trouble making the routine plays, and now he's an outfielder, and this was his first year as a regular, and he won a title.
Which was?
Strikeouts.
He's sharing the title. He didn't win it all straight out, so yeah.
He didn't do it. He had to share it with the big boy.
I don't know if that's winning a title, though.
Well, he was, but he had
a... Here, son, put the scarlet letter on your chest.
he had quite a good season. I'm really happy for him. He's the nicest guy.
I like
him. I think he's got some room to grow. He's been a quite a disappointment for the Fighters, to be fair, to be
in
honest.
In the second half? In the first half?
Well, I think in his career he's been a...
In his career, certainly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they expected him to blossom a little bit more. Player development, we'll get to this at some point, but player development in this country, I don't know what they... I would like to talk to the GMs and the front office people and figure out what it is they see or what they envision when they see these young players and what they want them to do and how they help them develop. But we'll have somebody on who's got a good idea.
He has lots of great stories about that, so let's move on.
Okay, on-base percentage. We skipped walks. Walks, Mr. Okawari-kun again. 79 walks, led the league. And then on base percentage, Mr. Yoshio Itoi of the Fighters, which is good at .411.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
He had a hell of a season. I mean, he was one of the guys whose offense really didn't, he just, one of my favorite players and a guy who didn't really do anything different than what he's done. He hits the ball, he drives the ball well, and he has great plate coverage, and he draws walks. So hard to complain with that.
No, I love the guy. Every time he went to the plate, I was trying to figure out how people were going to get him out, and they did a really good job. I mean, I wanted to get to this later, but I guess we'll just talk about it now. He's got the best batting average on balls in play, and when he hit. Of regular players, he hit .373 when he put the ball in play. And, I mean, he hit a lot of rockets. So a lot of times when he got out.
That's what you have to do if you're going to hit .373.
Yeah.
Leagues usually hits to like .290.
Yeah. .290. Yeah. He hit a lot of atom balls as well. So, I mean, and some of the guys were ducking out of the way and it just happened to go in their gloves. I mean, he hit a bunch of rockets. But here we come with Mr. Okawari again leading the league, but it's something I think you'd rather not lead the league in. It's not double plays. It's errors. 17 errors he had. And, I mean, he gets time at first base, especially in late game situations where they try to, make the defense a little bit stronger at the end of games. And they swing him around to first base. But he had his share of throwing problems and fielding problems out there. I mean, I wouldn't call him problems. 17 is really not that bad at third base. You get a lot of chances. But he did lead the league, so unfortunately for him. But you know what?
Right.
I'm convinced. He looks like the MVP to me, especially when their team got in, at the 11th hour. They got into the playoffs.
Well, I've already said it, so my position really hasn't changed on this. I think he's got to be. Anybody who did what he did in this year, and when you talk, one of the players was telling me last week or a couple of weeks ago how frustrated he is with people's perceptions of his batting stats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're really not having a good year. You're getting old, blah, 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 blah. But when we start talking about the Pacific League pitchers, and the context of some of the things that are going on,
mm-hmm.
You think, go back to Takuya Nakamura, and you start to think, wow, this guy really had a season. I mean, 48 home runs, wow, isn't that great? No, I mean like 48 home runs, like that's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Nakamura's numbers are astronomical this year. They're like Babe Ruth. They're like Babe Ruth numbers.
They're Ruthian numbers. And to put it in perspective, the closest guy to him was Matsuda at what?
Right, 25.
I don't know the difference. I know it was 23 home runs, so it would have been 25.
25.
And that's the largest difference between a home run champion and the next closest competitor ever, and he beat Sadaharu O's record.
Right.
So that's how dominant a home run season.
Hit more home runs than the Chibolote Marines.
Hit more home runs than a single team, which had club franchise
worst.
Hit
more home runs than a team that hit 126 last year.
Well, that team... You know, we didn't talk about the Marines a lot during the season, and we really didn't have much to talk about. But as I was doing my blog last night, and I kept seeing all the information that was just documenting this horrible season, I really started to get a perspective on how bad this team played this season. And it wasn't that it was a bad team.
No.
It's just that they, you know, the players just didn't perform as a unit, you know, as a team.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a whole bunch of theories about that, as I usually do about the Marines.
All right, so yeah, the Marines did have a bad year, but let's go on to we'll save that for another entire podcast.
Save that for another one. The Marines are worthy of volumes, I think. Okay.
Let's talk about the pitching. And I mean, you know, you, Darvish, I mean, all the scouts and the teams in the U.S. are drooling over him, and we know he's going to probably leave and go to the States and do via the posting system. And
Well, the question that Darvish is, when is he going to go?
Right. And soon is the answer.
What?
Soon is the answer. Maybe
you think after this season?
Soon as the last ball goes in the glove on their season.
But he's not going to be a free agent for another 2 years.
But in posting, you don't think that he's going
to... Post him a year earlier than they need to?
Hey, man, why not? Money. Everybody knows he's going to go, so, I mean...
Right. He was going to go, then why didn't they post him this year?
Actually, I think, you know, he was coming off the season where... In 2008, he had back trouble in the...
Right.
In the was it 2008?
No,
I don't remember. In the postseason, he had some back trouble. He had some serious. So he was coming off that in 2008.
I know. I understand. There is quite a campaign. You know that they're working quite a campaign on the fighters to get him to be posted, and they hired some. There are some big guns in play there. So we'll see, but it would be interesting whether it's this fall or next year.
Okay. Well, it seems like he's on his way out the door, but the door's not going to close on him because he had a monster season. It's going to be very interesting to see how the old farts, as you put it, at the end of the season sit around and try to decide who should get the Sawamura Award, because...
I don't call people old farts.
Oh.
That off.
I'm sorry. That off.
I usually reserve it for a few people.
That often. Okay.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. Well, I'm not listening. Darvish was the strikeout leader, and he had a career-high 276 strikeouts.
Okay, let's talk about 276.
Last year he had 222, and that was his career-high.
And 276, think about how many people have 276 strikeouts. Okay, now my database goes back to 1985.
Okay.
Pitchers and hitters. So I looked through who had 276 strikeouts, and the answer is
Nomo.
Well, okay, wait.
Nomo.
One other pitcher, Hideo Nomo.
Okay, yeah, it was
276 in 1993, and then 287 in 1990, and again in 1991. Since 1985, those two pitchers, period, end of story.
Wow.
And that was Nomo, and that was a different era. So is he? He's not in the same I wouldn't put him in the same category with Nomo yet. But he's definitely, because especially Nomo did it in a park that was a launching pad.
Mm. I mean, he had a terrific year. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
And you know, what is he? Makun had 241 strikeouts, which was his career high.
Sure.
And he ends up in second one with strikeouts. But I mean, strikeouts per nine innings, Darvish had 10.71. Makun had 9.5.
The
whip for Darvish was 0.84.
Yeah.
From Makun, 0.89. I mean, it's really going to... I mean, one guy has one category where he leads, and the other guy has a category where he leads. I'm really interested what they're going to do when they get in that room. And, you know, the one time that I went to the Sawamura Award, well, not decision, I guess we call it, it's like a press conference.
Yeah, announcement.
They talked about how he's a notorious... first innings poor starter. You know, he doesn't start games well. He gives up runs early in games, and they wanted him, Darvish. and they wanted him to, they gave him the award, but they wanted him to, that was something that they wanted, it was like his homework assignment.
Right, exactly, well that's what the Solomers, except for the time when they gave it to Iwakuma, even though Darvish had a better year and had better qualifying numbers, they pretty much say, well, you're not quite up to our standards, son, but keep working on it.
Yeah, you're not
you
as
get
good
to be as good as, when you get to be as good as we were, what the pitchers that we remember being, give us a call.
Give us a call. Now, we don't want to, you know, slight DJ Holton's achievements because he had a really, really good season.
Yeah.
Excellent season, but he doesn't lead in a lot of categories like these two guys, and I don't think he's going to, he might get some consideration, which I hope he does.
Well, because the thing is that to understand how the Solomer Award works, they have seven benchmarks.
Right.
And basically, these seven benchmarks were, I think the current benchmarks, they've dropped and dropped and dropped as the relief pitching has become a bigger and bigger part of the Japanese games, and the innings and complete games have pretty much disappeared.
Right.
So they've had a lot of years in the late 80s, and then especially with the flying Mizuno ball coming, making a big comeback in 2000, they've had a lot of trouble with pitchers meeting any of the benchmarks other than games pitched and innings pitched, and mm-hmm. which are fairly low. It's been really hard, and basically they use the Solomer Award as a platform for saying what's wrong with today's pitchers and how come they're not as good as we used to be. So you know what they're going to say this year? Wow, this guy's almost as good as we were.
Almost. I remember when.
We would like to see a little more of this. We're not quite happy, you know, this kind of, and then what they'll say is, oh, you know, with the bad ball this year, he should have won 24 games.
Right.
What they're going to say, it should be entertaining. But we talked about the strikeouts. Now, the innings pitched, Darvish led the Pacific League in innings pitched, and this is the most in Japan in 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Since Matsuzaka threw 240 and a third in 2001. Let's see what else we have. Here's another one about this year. Darvish had and Tanaka each had 6 shutouts.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now Chihiro Kaneko had 7 last year. But the last, before Kaneko, the last 6 shutout pitcher was Masaki Saito in 1995.
A giant.
Yep.
As I recall, yes, okay.
Yep, complete games. Masahiro Tanaka had 14 complete games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most since Matsuzaka had 15 in 2005. Wow. And after that, we have to go back to 1995 for a pitcher with 14 or more.
What are those guys going to do? They're going to get in that room, and they're gonna, you know, one guy's going to put more weight on. I mean, the category, the benchmarks are what the benchmarks are, but these guys are hitting them all.
Yeah.
So
this is a situation. Well, you know, we had the situation. Normally, you hit them all, you get the award, unless your name is Darvish and you won the year before, and some other guy wins 20 games. Then we'll give it to him because he won 20 games.
Right.
Okay. Strikeouts we had, inning pitched we had. Okay, well, the ERA, of course, 1.27 is low, but ERA
is... Second lowest, I believe. Second lowest in Pacific League history. The other one was 1.1.
No, I'm not buying that, because they used to have... I guess it could be, because the Pacific League has been a hitter's league for so many years.
Yeah, 1.07, I believe, was the lowest, and then he's got 1.27, Tanaka. So, yeah, that was according to TBS after the game, the last game that he pitched. So saves, we had, Hisashi Takeda, the Fighters, with 37, but it wasn't an impressive 37 to me. I mean, he's gettable. I mean, you know, you get into a playoff situation and you don't see him striking a lot of guys out. But, you know, they play better defense. I heard Kensuke Tanaka is made a rehab start.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking they might be able to get him back, and that really improves their, well, I shouldn't say it improves their defense, but it, you know, it certainly will stabilize their infield, because they made a lot of uncharacteristic errors in the second half of the season, and they missed him. I know they missed him on the defensive end. And then Hirano of the Buffaloes led in holds with 43, which we didn't hear a lot about, Mr.
I just want to go back here.
Oh, go ahead.
And how many guys in Japanese history with ERAs under 1.2? The answer is 25.
Well, the ERA I'm seeing is 1.06 in 1956.
1.06. Yeah, Wakabayashi. Inoue. Yeah, the rest of these were Central League guys, and mostly a guy pitched for the Tigers.
All right, so you apologize. Okay. All right.
All right, I do apologize. So TBS may have gotten it right for sure. Okay.
Let's get on to the Central League now. Offensively, you know, nobody had a really great season. I mean, our home run leader, Vladimir Ballantyne, 31.
Mm-hmm.
Our stolen base leader, Daisuke Fujimura. Guess what team, everybody out there? Daisuke Fujimura. I'm giving you 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. The Giants.
Yep.
And he had 28. I mean, that's less than half of what they had in the Pacific League.
Well, that's, again, that's, there's a context to that.
Certainly. And
The Pacific League has been a base stealers league for, I'd say the last 30, you know, the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The umpires in the Pacific League didn't call box very much. Or they did call box. They were much stricter about it than in the Central League.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been a little easier. I don't know what that means now.
It means to me that teams like Hiroshima that we said were little scrappy, water buggy kind of teams that we assumed were running a lot more, probably weren't running as much as they should have been or weren't successful. And it also says that the Central League is a big plodding kind of a league where there are more players who, you know, maybe not as fleet of foot. And you look around and you see, I mean, even the Giants themselves are well divided in players who potentially would run to take a base and those who will never run and take a
right.
base.
Right.
And I think that's just the kind of teams that we have in the Central League.
I think the other thing is that you have the bigger pitchers in the Pacific League and you have the bigger parks in the Pacific League and you have this game, and I hate to, you know, you want to say it, but this year's game favors the kind of game that has been pretty common in the Pacific League for the last 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it just played into their hands. So teams like the Swallows who played that game, you know, they made out like bandits for 4 months before everybody caught up with them.
Right.
Okay.
Run scored, Aoki, only 73. Well, I guess he was at 73 when I did this. He might have gotten up higher. I didn't update it. But he's probably still the leader. I'm checking as we
73 speak. Is correct.
Okay. And, I mean, you know, to me, what does that say to you? Because, I mean, this team was in first place for a long time, and to have a guy who batted, you know, no, I think he, I don't remember him batting cleanup.
He was horrid early. Oh, Aoki?
Yeah, but he batted first, he batted third. I don't remember if he batted cleanup that many times or not, but it just says that, you know, they just didn't really produce a lot of runs.
The league didn't produce runs. Well, this is not endemic to the Swallows. This is the way the league is. 73 runs is because people weren't scoring runs.
Yeah,
and the Swallows aren't a big offensive team, so
exactly,
there you go.
That's what I meant. I mean,
right.
for them, I mean, again, did they finish, I'll leave this to you, did they finish the season by scoring more runs than their opponents? And the answer?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, I know the answer is that they didn't.
They did not. In fact, they were down by 21 runs.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing that they finished second place.
It is quite amazing. It's quite amazing that they were. But, you know, they had
that heart that I told you about earlier on this year, buddy. The heart.
That's right. It was the heart.
Of which they don't have anymore.
Right. So they are now heartless.
How long are you going to tease me about that, man? How long?
I hope you live a long time.
Thanks for your encouragement. Maybe you're encouraging yourself.
You know how to get the most bang for my buck, man.
RBI leader, Mr. Takahiro Arai. Who
Christopher, the Tigers blogger, thinks should get some votes for MVP. For MVP?
Get some votes or get first place votes?
Again, I think he's talking about first place votes. He wants it to be the MVP.
I don't see that happening. But what I...
No.
His popularity certainly went up for the way he handled things when NPB came out and said, we will start our season as planned. And when the players fought about that, he gained a lot of points with
sure.
He is the people's MVP.
He's the people's MVP. I would go for that, sure.
Especially in the first half of the season. I don't think so. Not so much in the second half. Plus, he led the league in double plays.
Right.
With 19, so that's not good. Our strikeout king is also our home.
Well, just to point out something that's kind of obvious, leading the league in double plays and leading the league in the in most RBIs are two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
And what they both mean is that you're batting with a lot of guys on base.
So if you hit these ground balls, you're going to...
Yeah, if you have a good average and you have a good average and you got some pop and you got that with a lot of guys on base and you don't strike out so often that you never ground into a double play, you're going to have some RBIs and you're going to ground into some double plays unless you're really, really fast.
Right,
and
which he's not.
I ain't.
He is not.
Okay.
No, he's not.
Okay.
All right. What else do we have? Sacrifices, Tanaka, but I don't think we talked about the sacrifices in the Pacific League. So let's move on to the pitching. Now the pitching, you could see a distinct
difference. We just missed the category,
which
is the one that's still in play.
Which is?
Or is it dead? Is Matt Martin still chasing for the batting title?
The batting title, yes, and that's why I didn't put it on there, because he still has a chance. He's 3 points, as he finished today at 313, and Chono, Hiseyoshi Chono of the Giants is at 316. No, they have one game left, it's tomorrow.
So what's he got to do?
Got to get four hits, I believe.
Okay. All right.
Not too likely, but yeah, good luck. Good luck. We're rooting for you, buddy. Pitching.
Right.
Like I said, you can see a real difference here. Kenta Maeda was a strikeout leader. He had a career high 188, almost 100 fewer than Mr. Darvish. And last year he had set his career high with 174.
Right.
Atsushi Nomi of the Tigers was second.
186.
That's right. Nomi had a game the other day where he went 9 innings, and I think he only struck out 4 or 5, so he was all set up to surpass Maeda, and he did not. So he fell too short, unfortunately for him.
The Central League is kind of a very ordinary-looking situation here. I mean, they've got bigger parks. They also had trouble. You know, they ran into buzzsaws in Interleague.
In other areas, too. But, yeah, I mean, the Pacific League dominated in Interleague. It was just, it wasn't even fair. Remember they had, the Carp had that streak of 41 consecutive innings without scoring a run. I mean,
but you know what? It is fair. Because it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant now.
It's irrelevant because if the Pacific League dominates the Central League, well, okay, fine. It doesn't matter. It just makes it harder for all the Pacific League teams to stay ahead of each other. And
right.
It's not a question of the league dominating one league or the other. It's the individual teams.
Right.
So, yeah, okay.
Look at this, though. I mean, Fujikawa had 43 saves to lead the league, but I think, if Dennis Sarfate, I think he said he had some kind of a back problem, and he went back to the States.
Yeah, they shut him down early. They shut him down in the middle of September.
If he didn't have trouble, I think he would have led the league. However, Mr. Takuya Asawa of the Dragons had 10 saves with the Dragons.
Right. As well as the 45 holds.
Yeah, league.
So he led the league in holds and he had 10 saves, which is quite a combination.
But if those saves, if you put those saves with Iwase, those 10 opportunities for saves at least, maybe he would have led the league because he had 37 saves. So he would have surpassed, the 43 that Fujikawa had. So that's something to think about. But
Fujikawa was not a banner year for closers.
No.
I mean, the guy who was the best, I think, for most of the year was Lim.
Oh, I got, I said 43, it was 40. 40 saves for
Fujikawa. Fujikawa did have, I think Lim was the best, and then he was hurt.
Right, and he went
and
down.
And then Sarfate was really good, but it's hard to be really good with the Carp. It's hard to be really good with the Carp. I mean, fortunately, he struck out a lot of guys, but anytime you put the ball, I don't know, okay, I don't want to get too much about the Carp. They're a puzzle, and the numbers always confuse me because I look at the players and I know they can play defense, but it seems like balls go out there to become hits.
Yeah.
They just had bad luck this whole year. It's possible.
Yeah, they're mysterious. They're mysterious. But Asawa and his 52 holds, were awesome. He led. He also had a 0.41 ERA, and he didn't allow any home runs.
Well, we're just going to throw out the ERA because essentially the only time a closer's ERA matters is if it's like over 6.
Okay.
It just doesn't really matter. What really matters is whether he's pitching effectively, 95% of the time.
Yeah. Well, what was he? He was 7-2. He had a club record 79 appearances, but he only threw, what, 87 in the third innings? But he struck out 100 guys in that time. I mean, this guy, I don't know. He made a good case for MVP if they can't figure out what to do. So, anyway, that was our league leader in losses.
Right.
Kentaro Takasaki of the Yokohama Bay Stars with 15. But Maximo Nelson, who might, you know, get the start if there's a, well, he's likely to get a game 3 start, which is actually game 4, right? In that one game advantage playoff system that they have.
Sure.
He's likely to get a start. And he had 14. So, I mean, it just tells you that losses and wins, they're just, and I'll talk about how I disagree with the whole idea and the whole concept of wins and losses in one of our off-season shows. But
I'll
be off the handle here.
Crush that misinformation campaign that pitchers win their games.
That's right. That's crap. All right, let's go into the juicy part of the schedule here, the previews. Now, we have to zip through here now. CLCS, Giants, Swallows, 6:30 games starting, you know, on the 29th, 30th, 31st, if needed. The Swallows are trending downward. The Giants are trending up.
Trending downward?
Trending
what
suckward.
What does that mean, trending downward? That's like if you fall off of El Capitan. This is what they're doing. they're not trending downward. They're in a free for all without a parachute.
Yeah, they used to have wings and they used to look like normal birds flying around, and then someone sliced their wings right off. Those are the injuries.
They're plummeting.
And they're just like a floating rock.
Yep, they're waiting to be had. Now, you know, I love John. Do they have heart? Sure, they got heart, but they're not playing well. They haven't been playing well, and they're up against a team that's playing better than any other team in the Central League. I would say right now they're playing better than any other team in Japan, with the possible exception of the Hawks. And I've had my say.
Yeah, you've had your say. I mean, there's some guys who, I mean, you look at Alex Ramirez for the Giants. He had a really good October. He hit .357 at Jingu this season, which, you know, doesn't mean that much.
Well,
going
they played
into the playoffs.
Six games, so wow.
I think you said six or seven. Was it seven?
Seven.
Hisayoshi Chono hit .276 there with a couple home runs. I mean, you know, their guys weren't particularly productive, but I mean, the last time they played a series there was September 2nd, right. 3rd and 4th. That's a long time ago.
And when the Swallows were playing fairly well.
Yeah, which we agreed was about their best stretch of the season. I think they won 13 out of 14 games at the beginning of September. And
started
a
2-1 series against the Giants. So,
but yeah, in my opinion, and they lost another guy. Shingo Kawabata is out.
Yep.
Shinya Miyamoto has hampered by bad thighs.
Aikawa's got a broken thumb.
Aikawa's been playing through this broken thumb.
Takayama, who's their best
hitting.
Pitchers, has a circulation issue in his pitching hand.
It's a mess. It's a mess. Clean up on Isle Swallows. I mean, you know, there's a spill everywhere. I don't know. Can they win a game?
Yeah, but I wouldn't count on it. I mean, I love their chances, and I'd love, as a fan of the Swallows, you'd love to see it, but I wouldn't expect it. Could they win it one game in three? Absolutely. I swear you could put the Eagles out there and they could win one game.
Yeah.
Will they, let's put it this way. The chances are they'll win a game. Mm. Unfortunately, that might be game 3, which means they won't get to it. it's one of these things. If the series went long enough, eventually they'd win one.
Eventually, look, they're tired.
It might be game 1, but the chances. I mean, Tatayama is a quality pitcher. They are a tough, resilient team, but you know they're just overpowered.
Yeah, I think they're going to need a Cy Youngish kind of pitching performance, along with a Ruthian kind of performance by somebody like Valentin or Hatakeyama. Somebody's going to have to come through in this game that they're going to win. If they can push it to 3, you know, you never know what can happen.
Right.
I don't.
They need to throw a couple of shutouts, and is it going to happen? Probably not. But this is a year where there isn't a lot of offense, and where teams that aren't particularly big or powerful can win,
mm-hmm.
It can happen. But I think right now the Giants are basically playing as well as they're capable of, and the Swallows probably are too.
The probable starters we project, Tateyama versus Utsumi in game one, Muranaka for the Swallows against Sawamura in game two. Ishikawa for the Swallows and Gonzalez.
Your former teammate.
Former teammate again in the game three if necessary.
But, you know, Hara, he might decide that Tono needs a chance for redemption.
No.
Or maybe he'll be the new closer.
Or he'll be, he can relieve. He's got some experience this year.
Yeah, maybe Hara will decide in game two that Tono's the Giants' new closer.
Could be.
It's happened before. I think it happened in July.
All right, your prediction?
Oh, Giants in two.
I'm going to say Giants in three. Yeah, I don't want to, but I have to. PLCS. The Lions snuck into the playoffs there. They're going to go up to Sapporo and play the Fighters.
The Lions snuck into the playoffs sort of like the Giants snuck into the playoffs. They just played really well. They were up and down a little bit, but they played really well for a prolonged period of time.
They had a really good stretch in September. I don't think they weren't particularly great in October. I think Oryx really fell back to the pack for them.
Absolutely.
And, they only went two games over 500. They weren't spectacular. So I wouldn't say really well. But you know what? They won some tough games, including some head-to-head games with Oryx. And then they won some games on the road that they had to win.
Right.
So, you know, they're definitely battle-tested.
Right.
Even with their rookie closer, who our friend in Tokorozawa has suggested he might be a Rookie of the Year candidate. So.
He is a Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't know how many votes he's going to garner, but we'll see. Probable starters. Game one, I think Darvish against Wakui.
Yeah, gotta be.
I heard that Takeda is trying to get back. If he does, I would just assume he's going to be the game two starter. Maybe they would save him for game three and maybe give him an extra day to heal up. I don't know. Yes. He had elbow issues. So, but Bobby Keppel, and then Nishiguchi in game two. And then,
I think that's good. I like
or Kishi.
You know what? I like Kishi in two and go with Nishiguchi in three. On the other hand, if you're going to use... Yeah, why not? I mean, if you get to another series, you're going to use them both anyway. So.
Yeah, well, we remember that Herculean performance that Kishi put on in the Japan series in 2008. So I think...
I don't think you can go wrong with either guy.
No.
I think against a good team, I would rather have the guy with the stuff rather than the guy with the guts.
Yeah.
And Kishi can gut it up in big games. So, yeah, I'd rather have Kishi.
Okay.
But that's my personal choice.
All right. And, if Keppel goes in game two, I guess we have to say Takeda in game three or vice versa, Takeda in game two and Keppel in game three.
Okay, now let's say Takeda is not available.
You would go with
Brian Wolf?
Yeah, I would have to. I would. Itokazu could be someone they throw in there. You suggested Yoshikawa maybe. They could surprise people, but I don't know. If there's a game three, I don't think they're going to go with Yoshikawa. I don't see it, but.
Well, Darvish pitched on short rest a lot this year.
Yeah. Back out there, son. Let's finish business out here.
They think 6 days is short rest in Japan, so.
Yeah, that's right. No, five, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is
and the good. Fighters are the Pacific League version of the Swallows.
Uh-huh.
They really struggled coming down the stretch, and looked for a while like Oryx was going to catch him for second place.
Right.
But so
they're
not
trending down. And the Lions are trending. They're trending upwards.
Who knows? Kensuke Tanaka might even be back.
That's right. Could be back. He's
could. And hopefully he'll play better than he did before he was hurt.
If he's going to play, I think he's going to be himself. If he's not going to be himself, I don't think in a playoff situation they'd take the chance to put him out there. But...
Kensuke Tanaka is that he came in when everybody was having trouble adjusting to the ball, and he hasn't had this whole year getting used to it.
That's true too, but I think he was. I'll have to look up his numbers as we speak here, but I didn't think he was having a bad season.
I think he was hitting like 240.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't having a typical season, but considering where everyone else was, I think he was right along with everybody else. But
I take 300 hitters, and they're not 240 hitters. Okay. But there's some variation there. It could happen. It was again, we're only talking like 100. He probably only had 110 at-bats or 120 at-bats, so.
And he had the...
Could just be that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bad wheel, so hopefully he's, you know, he's really okay. I hope they don't rush him back where he's playing in pain and all that stuff. Because he did a lot of things for me. He stole bases for me. He hit...
Oh yeah,
bases. I mean,
yeah, he's a great player. If he was half as good an interview as he is a player, we talk to him every game.
He was hitting 290 when he went out, man.
Was he?
Well, 49 games, he was hitting 290.
Okay,
so
I'll take your word. My database is up right now, so
okay.
I'll take your word.
Now things to look at: Wakui at Sapporo Dome, 3.93 ERA this season.
Well, he beat Darvish. He beat Darvish in the opening day.
When Darvish got his brains beaten out.
Yeah. Well, that was the only bad start. That's what the Lions did this year. They were 4-7-1 at Sapporo Dome, in which they outscored the Fighters by winning three blowouts. And then pretty much they just got their butts kicked the rest of the time. So,
well, one other thing of note now, Darvish on 10 or more days of rest in two starts this season has a 9 ERA.
Wow.
Yeah. Now remember, you know, the old farts you spoke about complained about him getting off to slow starts in games,
right.
You know, in early innings. And, you know, you look at his 9 ERA in two starts with 10 days or more, he's going to have a long time off. I don't remember. I'm trying to look up as we speak the last time he pitched.
Right.
And, you know, there's a chance they can get some runs early off of him. And
well, they could have pitched him on Tuesday, but they didn't.
Yeah, they chose to let him rest.
Right.
Whatever sense that makes. So, yeah, they end up losing to the Lions. They help put him into the playoffs effectively by losing to him in that game.
Right.
So, if they lose to them here, I guess, you know, they could have lost to Orioles just as easily, but I didn't think the Buffaloes had a chance to match up with them pitching wise, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Your prediction.
My prediction. I'm going to go. This is harder than the Swallows. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think I was thinking Fighters. I'm going to go with the Lions.
My sheet says Fighters in two. So now I've got to go through and change it. Lions, you say?
Yeah.
And two games?
No, three.
Three. All right. I have Lions in three. You just wanted to copy me. You have the sheet there. You know what I said.
That's true. Actually, John, to all the listeners, John is my idol. I want to be just like John.
Well,
I just got to work on my tan a little bit.
You just have to be born a poor black child.
Exactly. And I'm working on that, too.
All right, buddy. Let's go to fielding questions. First question, we actually have a lot of questions from Walker, but I think we're only going to be able to address maybe one or two and then to another question. So his first one is, with the probable sale of the Yokohama Bay Stars to DNA Company Limited, will it be a name change and maybe a return to the Whales moniker? They used to be the Taiyo Whales.
Yeah, well, it would be great. I thought the Whales were a great name. They had my horrible uniforms, but they were a great name. They got rid of the Whales because they thought Maruha, the company that used to own the Bay Stars, and they still own a big chunk of them, I believe, was a fish packing company, and they were killing whales.
Nice.
But, well, you know, whatever. You know, times change. Anyway, they switched to Bay Stars because they thought whales, you know, they were whale killers, I suppose. So they figured that whales was an unpopular mascot, you know, a team name for them. But when it sort of sounded like people didn't like whales, you know, it was save the whales, baby. They should have stuck with the whales. But
hey,
the
man,
Bay Stars.
I tell you this. When they switched to Bay Stars, I really like that name. I think it fits the area. If they're not going to move the team, which we understand, they're supposed to keep the team there in Yokohama.
The company's based there in Yokohama, I think.
Yeah.
DNA, so.
Okay, so they're not supposed to be moving the team, so I think they shouldn't change the name, but who cares what I think.
The Yokohama Bay Stars. What's the problem with that?
What I was told was when teams get sold like that to new owners, that a name change and uniform change and all those things coincide.
Uniform change might happen, but the Hawks didn't change. They're still the Hawks. The Lions have been the Lions since 1951. They were the Clippers for 1 year, but they were the Lions since then.
Okay.
So, no, not necessarily.
Not necessarily? Well, that would be good because I don't think it should change. And you know, I like all my the Baystars paraphernalia, yep, and the hats and caps and everything. I wanted a jersey so bad, but you know, we didn't get, they keep losing. You know, we don't get a chance to go out there and cover a lot of games, and it's unfortunate.
So,
but
I'm not gonna say anything about that. Okay.
Hopefully they don't change. We'll have to see on that. Yeah,
okay.
That's the way it goes. Now, question number two. Will the Japanese Players Union come to an agreement and sign on to play the next installment of the WBC? If yes, do you see as much talent, players, and management participating prior to the regular season? The agreement, you know, what I was told by one of the beat writers of the Yomiuri was that they always haggle, and they end up playing.
We turned to Shimomura.
Shimomura, yeah. So he thinks
he doesn't think they're going to play.
Now he doesn't think they're going to play, but at first he said, you know, they do this and then they end up playing. But now, I did talk to him the other day when I went out to Sabre Dome and he was there. And he's unsure.
Yeah.
He's thinking, and so you're thinking that they're not going to play.
That's what he's been telling me. We had this discussion in early in the summer, and I was telling him they're going to play. And I think he bought into that. But the deadline is much sooner now than it used to be because of the qualifying. So he's thinking they're not, and I think they're trying to cut it as close as they can to the last minute, but there's no way they're going to get any concessions.
Yeah.
So they're either going to play or not, and if they do, they're really going to miss the boat.
If they do play?
No, if they boycott.
If they boycott, they're going to miss.
Because it's just everyone else is going to benefit from it.
Right. Well,
money,
I mean,
yeah, it's all about money from Japanese companies, and that's going to go to other countries' teams, and they'll be watching at home going, wow, you know, and probably it looks like New Zealand might take their place.
New Zealand?
You can't even buy baseballs in New Zealand.
Not even
people told me that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah,
yeah,
you got to wash up on the beach.
Well, yeah, there's your whale.
Take a rugby ball and hammer it into shape.
Oh, well, you know, it has been these talks. Both sides, because the U.S. side has been very tight-lipped, but the Japanese side keeps leaking information.
Yep.
So it really hasn't been fair. I mean, the U.S. side has been very. I mean, when I went to the one press conference that I went to, they gave very straight answers. Very,
very productive conversation.
Vanilla answers, very useless answers. And then later on, the Japanese reporters gathered around someone and they got information. They would bring it back to the Major League Baseball reps and they would say, well, you know, we're not going to comment on that. I don't know how you got that information.
Because they told us?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it hasn't gone well.
So is it going to happen? I think it is because it's being run by lawyers, but I think they're. Well, I mean, in the past, the history has been that they have made last-minute agreements in the first WBC. But this year, there's not the case of we're waiting for Japan. They're not waiting for Japan. Right now, they're, as far as I know, they're out looking for replacements.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they find replacements, I think MLB will say, look, you know, we're about to sign a contract. Are you in or out? And if they say wait, and then the ship will have sailed.
Be very sad because
would be very sad, and it would be very stupid
on both sides. Because I think, you know,
I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I think the MLB set up this basically. Japan's position is we want our fair share of a tournament that we didn't build and we couldn't build in our wildest dream,
mm-hmm.
and the profits that are deriving that they want. All derived from a tournament that they can't put together.
Yeah, I understand.
So
that
MLB built a platform and went out on a limb, and they're saying, well, we want all the profits.
Yeah, I understand that concept. And
right.
what I'm saying by sad is that I don't think MLB needs Japan to make the event successful.
Nope.
because Latin American teams and U.S. teams will be able to carry that.
Sure.
I just think it's a sad thing that the team that has won the championship the past two times won't be there to represent.
Right.
And
know,
it's sad on that side, and it leaves a hole in the tournament to me because I'm over here. If I were in the States, I mean, a lot of people in the States didn't even know what the WBC was when I told them about it. And I said, Japan's won the past 2 years. And they're like, what? And because they're all thinking, you know, winter ball, or coming out of winter ball and thinking, you know, we want to go down to Florida or Arizona and watch spring training. You know, they didn't even remember the WBC.
Right.
So it's not that big a deal over there. So I think they can certainly hold and have a successful tournament without Japan.
Well, everybody, every you know, friends of mine who are soccer fans like to point out, oh, how come baseball doesn't have international tournaments and blah, 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 blah. And this is some friends of mine who are soccer fans, you know, who complain about the kind of the lack of international competition in baseball, and rightly so. You have to remember that when FIFA, the soccer's world organizing body, that was originally established for the express purpose of setting up the World Cup. And for many years, England, which was the homeland of soccer and where it began, didn't appear in the World Cup. They couldn't come to terms with FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, now they look, oh, yes, of course England wants to be in it. Everybody wants to be in it. But England didn't want to be in it for years and years and years. So this is the nature of the beast. Until it's established, there are always going to be these kind of conflicts. Now, whether Japan goes or not is more or less irrelevant in the big picture.
NBA strikes, WBC conflict, and get it straight out, people. Let's get
and
the
I'll
game,
tell you,
about the game
I,
on
I can't
field.
Say I can't say this, but I absolutely agree with it. NPB is arguing that it's all about rights.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact it's all about money.
Yeah, money, money, money. We know that.
It is all, right. all about money.
Let's jump to our final question. It's from Mike in Tokorozawa, and he has an interesting tactic. And his question is, if I were managing the Lions and knew that I had to face Darvish in game one, why would I start Wakui? Why not start Hoashi, knowing that I might lose the first game, then save Wakui and Nishiguchi, my best pitchers, for games two and three? Interesting strategy, do you think?
It is interesting, and it's not that unusual.
Wait a minute.
It's not that unusual to think about.
Okay.
It's hard to put in practice because you're only going to have three games. You want to use your best guys. Okay. Then, so I think go with the guy who's going to give you the best chance to win every single day. And if it's Darvish, you know, make him be as good as he can be. Don't give him more chances to beat you. Wakui isn't a sure bet to beat anybody. Darvish isn't a sure bet to beat anybody. You know, go with your best.
And
then if he beats Darvish, where are the fighters? Well, geez, they're up a creek pretty much.
Yeah, for this kind of a tactic, I don't think you give anybody anything.
That's
you know, you never know what's going to happen. But in a short series, particularly when it's a mini series like this, I think if you give your opponent, you make them earn every ball, every base, every out. Wakui, there's no guarantee that he's going to pitch well. Just like you said, there's no guarantee that Darvish is going to pitch all that well. And you never know what's going to happen. I would not give anybody anything.
I would either. And I would go with Wakui as opposed to another pitcher, basically because if you think you need a monster game,
mm-hmm.
nobody's going to be able to. Is the best bet to get a monster game from the Cebu staff is from Wakui.
Yeah,
he's also a good chance to blow up in the fifth inning. But he's got that potential to outpitch Darvish.
And the other thing to think about is just like when you're playing pool, you're aiming at one shot, but you're thinking about your next shot. And I don't think that you take Wakui and you wait with him, and then if you pitch him in game two, then when you get through to the next stage, then you've got to wait longer before you can actually pitch him again, and you're not giving yourself a fair shake in that series. So I think you're blowing up both series if you try to do that way.
I think I like the thought process that goes into it. Which is, do we have to do it the way everybody else does it? I mean, the answer is no. It's not, that often turns around and gives you a lot of options that you didn't have, you know, just going by the book. But here's the other one, is that, I'll tell you, in 2002, Haruki Ihara was a first-year manager of the Lions. He was a long-term coach with the Lions, but he was a first-year manager.
Mm-hmm.
And his best pitcher that year was Fumiya Nishiguchi. And they're playing the Giants at Tokyo Dome. Now, Nishiguchi hadn't won in Tokyo Dome since 1996 or 1997.
Right.
And he played a lot of games. They played a lot of games there. It was the Fighters' home park then. And he couldn't win in Tokyo Dome. And so Ihara kept his best pitcher out of the Japan series until game four in Cebu. And the story gets weirder and weirder, but the whole point is it sends a message of we're afraid to go with our best guys because we think Darvish can beat us.
Yeah.
And whether you think that or not, you don't want to say that. You got to stick with, we're good enough to beat them. We're good enough to beat Darvish. We've got what it takes to be here. We belong here. We're going to win. And then if you don't, okay, you don't.
You don't.
They beat
Dukrat. But no mind tricks. I mean, you don't. I wouldn't take a small gun to shoot at a big animal. I'm taking a big gun to shoot at my biggest gun to shoot at their biggest gun. I'm going to fight their fire with fire. And, you know, we're going to go at it, as Hara likes to say, chest to chest, and see who wins. I'm not going to back off and give them anything. So, and the other part of that equation is I don't really see Hawashi getting the ball in that three-game series. I don't think you throw a guy like that. He's too susceptible. I mean, you know, you're going to have to make plays behind him, and the other guys have more strikeout potential. But we don't know what Watanabe might throw. He might throw a trick out there.
He might see Makita star. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Well, they've got a lot of guys. I like the depth of the Lions rotation right now a lot more than I like the depth of the fighters. Unfortunately, when you play a three-game series,
you don't get to see anything about depth. Yeah.
Unless, you know what we might see? I'll tell you what we might see. If it gets to game three, we might see a repeat of the Lions strategy, which is instead of going to the bullpen, just recycling through all his starting pitchers.
That's right. Not there again. What in the series in 2008.
Yep.
All right, Mike, thanks for the question. Walker,
thank you very much, and thank you for all your help.
All right, and Walker, thank you very much for your question. We'll get to your other questions next week. Now, a little note about next week programming. We will tape the show after the final Climax Series first stage game. So if that is Monday, then we will tape on Monday night and get it up as soon as we can. It might not be until Tuesday morning, but we'll get it up as soon as we can.
Okay.
Jim, thank you very much, buddy.
John, thank you very much.
Have a good night.
You too.
Enjoy the World Series and your Climax Series baseball.
And if you have a question,
send it to yakujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on our Facebook page.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. See you next week. Cheers.